and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Babies love it, but most of us don't like it. So that's the riddle. What is it? Change. You know, most babies love to be changed, but as we get older, we don't like change. We resist change. Our society is changing so fast, lightning speed, really. You look at the internet, you look at our society, we have more information coming to us in one day than most people 100 years ago had in their whole lifetime. Change is happening really quickly. They say that people to go to medical school, they're enrolled in a program. By the time they get out of medical school, some of the things that they learned were obsolete because things are changing that quickly. The same thing with a business idea or an invention. If you put it out there, it used to have a shelf life of maybe 9 months, 12 months, a couple years. Today, you create something, it has a shelf life of maybe 6 months because someone's going to copy it, so you have to come up with a new version. That's how things are changing so quickly. In the traditional service this morning, at the earlier service, and also last night, there's a collect that we prayed. And what the purpose of a collect is to do is to gather together the theme of the day. And in that collect, it said that in a world that is constantly changing, we focus on where true joys are to be found. And so that collect this morning, even though we didn't have it in the contemporary service this morning, really does set the theme of the day. It takes the Old Testament reading, it takes the epistle, it takes the gospel, and ties it all together. And the one word that is the theme for today is change. We don't like it. We resist it. But it's part of life. And if you look at the readings or really listen to the readings this morning, it's all about change. We see it in the first reading, we see it in the second reading, and we also see it in the third reading. In the first reading, we see the disciples experiencing change. Now, how is that play out? Well, Jesus is with them for 3 years. He's ministering with them, he's eating with them, he's teaching them. And then he says to them, I'm going to go away, and you are going to be sorrowful, you are going to lament. The world, however, is going to rejoice, but you're going to be sad. But then you will see me again, and you will rejoice. Now, I'm sure the disciples were confused. I'm sure they were full of sorrow. And usually this is the experience that we have when something happens which is out of our control. If you live long enough, and if you're like me, you know that there are going to be things in life that happen that are out of our control. It's change, and we don't like it. Whatever it is, it can be in our families, it can be in our church, it can be in the society, the political arena. Whatever it is, could be at work, change. We don't like it. It's almost like we step back and go, oh no, this is going to happen. And so the disciples, I'm sure, were feeling all of the feelings that we feel when change happens in our lives. They were confused. They didn't understand it, and they resisted it, and most of all, they were sad. People don't like change. It's interesting that Jesus said there'll be some people that will be happy about this change, and other people will be sad. You know, you can have two people in the room and you can tell them something happened, and one person will say, well, that's not a big deal, and the other person will say, that's devastating. It's all how they perceive it. And so when Jesus was telling them that he was going to go away and to die, the world would rejoice and they would be sad. But then he says, but your sadness will be turned into joy, and when you see me again, you will have joy that the world will never be able to take away from. You know, in this life, there are circumstances that are out of our control, things that change on a daily basis, a weekly basis. Think about where you were last year and where you are today. Has there been change in your life? Most likely, you'd have to say probably. And if it hasn't happened in the last 12 months, I guarantee you it'll happen in the next 12 months or the next couple years. Change is inevitable. And sometimes we don't like the change that is forced upon us. And it brings a lot of sadness, maybe separation in families, maybe death or heartache or losing a job or losing a relationship. it brings great sadness. But there's a difference between real joy, which is something that is deep and then solid, rather than happiness, which comes and goes. I remember last time I was happy, I think it was at the retreat we did last Saturday, and we did a devotion, and I was happy maybe for about a half an hour because it really worked and things were great. But you know what? That feeling of happiness, it kind of evaporates, it goes away. And we can have great things happen to us, and we could feel happy about things, we could feel sad about things, but those emotions, they don't really last forever. It's like we feel them and then they dissipate. They come and they go. They're like the tide and we can't change them. Like going out to Jones Beach and trying to hold back the waves. You know, there's no way we're going to hold back the waves. The waves are going to come, but it's how we react to it. Jesus says in today's gospel, all of this stuff is going to happen. You're going to go through these different emotions, but I bring true joy. And when you see me again, you will have joy. Joy that the world cannot take away. So the early disciples, they experienced these changes, these emotions of sadness and joy. But we also see that the early church also experienced change. How so? Well, when you think about the early church, they were made up of Jewish people. The early church was a Jewish sect. It was a Jewish tribe, 12 tribes. And then Peter is given a vision at Joppa over near the coast of the Mediterranean, near Caesarea. He's in a trance, and he sees this vision, and the vision is all of these different animals coming down in a sheet, and the Lord says, kill and eat it. It's like, no, Lord, I don't want to do that. See, he doesn't want to change either. He's resisting change. I don't want anything to do with change. No, nothing has gone to these lips that are unclean. I'm not going to do it. And then he realizes that he's not talking about animals. He's talking about people. He's talking about, metaphorically, the fact that Jews and Gentiles are going to come into this church as one. And it was resisted. If you look at the book of Galatians, you can find out that the early church, especially the Judaizers, the Jewish people that did not want the Gentiles to come in, resisted it. Why did they resist it? They just didn't like change. I mean, imagine coming here on Christmas Eve, you know, and you know where you sit. You sit here. She sits over there. I know where most of you sit, so when you're not here, I know you're not here, by the way. So can you imagine coming here on Christmas Eve, and there's a bunch of Indians, you know, people from the neighborhood, maybe 50, 60% sitting in your pew? Well, first of all, you'd probably be upset on one level. You'd be upset on another level that they were sitting in your pew, and maybe you would never come back. The early church had a struggle with this because they were all Jewish people. Jewish people. And, you know, even if you want it, now I know the church, the Orthodox Church is celebrating Easter this weekend, Passover, or I should say the Jewish people are celebrating Passover, and the Greek church is in Holy Week this week. But the Jewish people, if you wanted to be part of the Passover celebration, you had to be Jewish. You had to come into the sect. You had to come into the religion. You had to be, if you were a man, you had to be circumcised. That's a big commitment, you know, especially if you're an adult. But you had to come in and bring your family. You couldn't stay as a foreigner and celebrate that ceremony. You had to become Jewish. So the church was Jewish, and then all of a sudden it becomes Greek and Jews together. And there was great division. People didn't like it. Some people fought against it, but nevertheless, when it happened, it brought something beautiful to the world, which is the Catholic Church, meaning that the church is universal. God gave a promise to Abraham in the Old Testament that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky and as numerous as the sand, the seashore, all of the grains of sand. No one can count that. It's impossible. It's not just Jewish people, it's Jews and Gentiles, it's Italians, it's Germans, it's Irishmen, it's people from every nation that call upon the name of the Lord. And so, the early church had to experience this change. But I will tell you, they didn't experience it in a way that was pleasant. There was fighting, infighting, and confusion. Even St. Peter was called on the carpet for eating with Gentiles. But nevertheless, this was the Lord's will. And then lastly, we too experience change. The early disciples did, the early church did, and so do all of us. We live in a world of sorrow. We really do. And we cannot stop certain things. We cannot control certain things. Things happen in our lives that are beyond our control. And many times we'll never figure out why they have happened. Nothing stays the same. In this world, if it did, it'd probably be boring. You know, like Groundhog Day, you wake up and every single day is the same day. The alarm goes off at 9 o'clock, the radio sings the same song, and you do the same things and say the same things, you'd be bored. But I think the reason why God brings change into our lives is to help us to grow, really. Because whatever happens to us is there to serve us. It's not like life is happening to us. It's happening for us to bring growth so that we will trust Him. It's either going to break us or it's going to make us into the image of Christ. And so change happens so that we can grow and mature and to trust in God even when we don't understand the change that happens. In this life, there's going to be sorrow. I guarantee you, you're going to taste sorrow. You will taste suffering. And if we think that we can control it by holding on to the past and saying, you know, I wish it wouldn't change, I wish it would stay the same, the longer we struggle and the longer that we hold on to the past, the more we will suffer. The more we let go and say, God, use me, God, help me, the more we will grow and the more we will be at peace and the more we will have joy in our lives. I said this earlier in the first service, and I said it primarily to shock people, and I thought about it later. Even God can't change the past. Really. Even God can't change the past. And I made a comment off the cuff. I said, look at the assassination of John F. Kennedy. It happened. Even God can't change that. Now, maybe he could. I don't know. But hyperbole, nevertheless, something that has happened in the past, whatever it is, if it's brought us great sorrow, the more we hold on to it, the more we say, God, I wish it didn't happen, the more we're going to live in that sorrow. And so the good news is Jesus gives us a new vision. And the new vision is not the past. It is something that is present, and it is something that is yet to come. And that's the New Jerusalem. In our reading this morning, we hear about the New Jerusalem coming down from above. This is where there is peace. This is where there is joy. This is where there is forgiveness. This is where all of our tears and all of our sorrows and all of our struggles will be wiped away. In this world, we'll face trials, but in the world to come, all of that will be removed. We will be with the Lamb who is on the center of the throne, and we will not be focused on things that had happened, but we will be thinking of things yet to come. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the one who makes everything new. The more we resist change in this world, the more we resist Christ, because Christ ultimately will make ourselves new and all of us part of this kingdom. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your heart.